Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
We got Bill O'Reilly coming up here in just a couple of minutes. He's got a new book out called Confronting Evil. But let me play, you know, it was a little bit of a miss in the last hour. I was talking about Bruce Pearl, legendary basketball coach. I knew Bruce when he was the coach at UW-Milwaukee. He went to Tennessee, the Volunteers. He's also faced some NCAA scrutiny and gotten into some trouble over the years. But it was very abruptly announced today that he was stepping down as the head basketball coach at Auburn. And it's weird timing for me. He's only 65 years old. His son is going to take over the program. Just last week, I saw him on Fox praising Charlie Kirk and remembering Charlie Kirk. And I don't understand this next comment at all, but back in the day, this goes back a long time, I used to record, pardon the interruption, Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon. Some of you might be familiar with that show. I used to love that show. And I would, you know, no matter when I was on the radio, I'd record it in the afternoon and I'd watch it as, you know, I was eating dinner or something like that. It was just a half an hour show. Long ago, I stopped that. But I never really had an issue with Michael Wilbon or Tony Kornheiser. But listen to Mike Wilbon just talking about this yesterday. There's only one reason he would say something like this. So let me play this here.
Tony, he had become a divisive person, it seems to me, intentionally. And I hope there was pressure to just get him out.
Really? Yeah, I really liked him. He was such a great guest. Yeah, on the other side on him.
Yeah, used to. What's changed, Michael? The only thing that's changed is Trump and Charlie Kirk, and you know his politics. Has nothing to do with how good of a basketball coach he is. Nothing to do with his personality, and Tony's right. He has one of the most infectious personalities in all of coaching, Bruce Pearl does. He always has. But Michael Wilbon doesn't like him because he said something nice about Charlie Kirk. That's where we are. The sports media is just nonsense. Now, one more thing media related, because, man, they're having to have some tough medicine over at CNN when it comes to, you know, the polling right now on Trump, and they're way off on crime and immigration still. And then there's the Kamala Harris book tour, which she took to MSNBC last night. She was on The View this morning embarrassing herself. Harry Enten on CNN saying, you know, people really don't want to hear from her.
Let's take a look at her net favorable ratings nationwide. You know, back in October of 2024, she was at minus 5 points. Not exactly great, but pretty close to even. But now, down under she goes. She's at minus 13 points. That's an 8-point drop since the general election among the overall electorate. She is not well liked at this particular point.
Not shocking. Here, listen to some of these other polling numbers. And they have to be, and I've been sampling CNN a lot more than I usually do just because of what happened to Charlie Kirk. I want to see what they're saying. I mean, you could not have had a more opposite coverage last night. When I got off the air at 6 o'clock, I tuned into Laura's show. I think she was doing her show. She's been off a little bit. But they're talking about some of the things related to religion and Charlie, and I can't even remember everything. But then I turned to CNN, and they're all over Jimmy Kimmel. That's all they want to talk about is Jimmy Kimmel and Trump spiking free speech, blah, 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 blah. Well, they certainly want to talk about the issues, because on the issues, they're on the wrong side of everything.
What's the reason that you are finding so far that's driving this?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's all about the center of the electorate, right? You win with independents, you win overall. And what do we see right here among independents? Republicans still have a point lead on the economy. They got a 10-point lead on immigration. They got a 21-point lead on crime. The bottom line is, when you look at these numbers, Democrats should call their offices, because at this particular point, even if Republicans, or even if the public doesn't like what Donald Trump is doing, they ain't necessarily liking what Democrats are doing. And it ain't just a referendum on one party. You actually have to go out and beat that party at this particular point. Democrats are not able to beat Republicans. They still
lead. And again, this isn't as Donald Trump came into office. These are numbers from this month.
These are numbers from September of 2025. We still find that the Republicans leading on all three of these issues. And of course, this economy will be the key. If Democrats are going to win, they're going to have to likely win on the economy. At this particular point among independents, you see that 1-point lead for Republicans. And overall, at least according to the Washington Post, they hold a 7-point lead on the economy.
21 points on crime. 21 points. And that, again, you know, I think Kate Bolden, I think that was the anchor there, kind of amazed. Yeah, you're telling me, Harry, that these are numbers from like this moment in time and not from last year. And yeah, they are numbers from this moment in time. And I think on the economy, those numbers will improve too. Look, I think they probably should have remarketed the Big Beautiful Bill before they focused on the tax cuts, but they're learning that right now. Frank Mealy coming up at the top, I'm sorry, the bottom of the hour. I'm reversing my clock here. He's going to weigh in on some of the politics of the day. Bill O'Reilly has got a brand new book out called Confronting Evil, Assessing the Worst of the Worst. He's always nice enough to join me whenever there's a new book out to talk a little politics and some other stuff. Bill, how are you this afternoon?
Thanks, Emmy and Mark. I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I want to explore the Jimmy Kimmel topic with you, Bill. I have been one who has agreed with Ted Cruz about the FCC getting involved here. I don't like that. However, Bill O'Reilly, and you have the way of doing this, I saw you on earlier in the show. I played a little bit of the audio when you were on with Piers Morgan, and I thought you made some pretty damn good points about community standards and how these stations are licensed and how, you know, there are other, you know, issues at play here. So make that case, because I'm uncomfortable with the part of Brendan Carr getting involved. That's the only red flag that I throw on the whole thing. I don't really like Jimmy Kimmel. I hope he never comes back. He's going to come back tonight. Bill O'Reilly's position on this.
I don't mind if Kimmel comes back or not. I don't think people should be banished or canceled. I don't believe in that at all. Carr has an obligation to police the airwaves of just three companies, ABC, NBC, and CBS. And that's because of the public interest component in their licenses. So these stations have to broadcast in the public interest. The problem that Carr has not articulated is, ever since Donald Trump entered the political arena, all three of those stations have blacked out any non-liberal voice. For 3 years, Kimmel would not book a conservative or traditional thinker on his program, and all the others are exactly the same, and I know that because I have the best-selling book in the country right now, Confronting Evil.
Yeah.
Number one on the New York Times list, 20th time that's happened. And I have not been invited on any of the network programming at all. None. So that's a complete blackout. And not just me. Mark Levin, he's a very successful writer. He doesn't get invited. Fox News personnel don't get invited. It is a big violation of freedom of expression. That's what the federal government should be highlighting, not Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, well, that's a valid point, Bill. I'll have to say, when I heard you talk about this with Piers, I never really thought of it from that perspective. My gut check was just always on the, you know, on the government pressure angle of that. But opening that conversation up to some of these other things, I think, is certainly worthwhile at this point. And you offer a great example of that.
Well, look, the reason that Kimmel got whacked in the beginning was because he said something that was not true. And when you're dealing with the assassination of a public figure and you're misleading your audience, then the company that pays you to do that, Disney, has an obligation. And Disney wasn't doing anything about it.
Well,
now, that's not in the public interest, is it?
Yeah.
So Carr was on firm ground. It came across petty because he didn't widen it out, as I just did to your audience, Mark. He should have done that. And but this isn't about Jimmy Kimmel. This is about the corporations, five of them, who have frozen out any non-liberal speech.
And now you have, you know, obviously the show's coming back tonight, but you got Nexstar and Sinclair. We have a Sinclair station here in St. Louis. People won't be able to see it. I guess maybe you can stream it somewhere. I was predicting yesterday you'd have huge numbers out of this. Obviously, people are going to be curious, but those ratings might not manifest themselves because a lot of the stations are not going to have Jimmy Kimmel on the air. Have you ever been on his show in the past?
Five times.
Okay, but not recently.
I have a decent relationship with him.
Yeah.
In fact, one of his best friends is Adam Carolla. And I talked to Kroll about a year ago. I said, you know, I think Kimmel's going down a wrong road here with all his hate Trump stuff. Can you set up a call? Because I just wanted to do Kimmel a favor and say, look, it's fine when you make fun of him, but if you want to hate him, that's going to cause you some problems. Anyway, Kimmel wouldn't get on the phone with me. But in previous years, a very good relationship with him. But he has descended into the hate Trump swamp along with a lot of other broadcasters.
Yeah, well, it's not funny. I used to depend on these late night shows for entertainment. You know, I like to use to watch the musical guests and, you know, I would record all of them. It's not worth it at all anymore, unfortunately. Let's talk about a few other things before we get to the book. Last week, I think it was last week, might have been the week before, you said on No Spin that you felt like the Trump administration has hit a wall to a certain extent. Do you think that the president has tried to do too much too early? You know, Sean Spicer actually made this point to me a couple of weeks ago, saying, how can you keep up the momentum in all of these things? So where are you on that right now, Bill?
Well, we're waiting to see if his tariff policy is going to benefit the economy. And that's going to take a few more months to illuminate. So that's number one. So he can't come to the American people and say, oh, my economic plan is a success, because he didn't have the data yet. And if it's not a success, there's going to be problems for the Republicans in 2026 midterms. The other thing is he thought that Putin would cooperate. Putin's not cooperating. So now he has to go to Plan B, and Plan B involves China, and it's very complicated, and it's going to take a while. So all of these things are in motion, but there's no resolution. So that's where the president is right now. He was able to shut down that border fairly quickly, get the ICE situation in motion where Americans could see the improvement. They could see what the Homeland Security Department was doing. That worked for him. He was able to kind of drive down gas prices a bit. So that worked for him. But now on the food prices and the tariffs and the overseas stuff, he's in a holding pattern.
Yeah, and we'll you know, that meeting with Putin was, what, a month ago already, right? And nothing since.
No, Putin is, and he is on the cover of Confronting Evil, Putin. Putin, Mao, Hitler, and the Ayatollah Khomeini. And I put Putin on the cover for a reason. He is a threat to the world. He is an evil killer. And once you find out about his deterioration, he's not the same guy that Trump was dealing with in the first term. Putin is now a genuine psychopath who lives in this crazy world, but he has nuclear weapons. So how scary is this? And that's really what's propelling the sales of Confronting Evil, because you're going to learn an awful lot about how bad this world is and what people can do about it.
Yeah, and it is number one right now, combined print and ebook nonfiction on the New York Times bestseller list. They always are, Bill, so congratulations on that. Look, you could, in the last couple of weeks, have updated this book, Confronting Evil. I think I was supposed to talk to you on the day of the Charlie Kirk assassination. We had to reschedule. You have the awful story with the woman in, you know, in North Carolina, Irina Zaruska. She has not been mentioned much in the last couple of weeks, but there's a lot of evil that seems to be apparent in the world beyond the four that you feature here in this book.
Yeah, that's individual evil. There's a difference. I'm dealing with evil that is on a mass scale. It's threatening, and as a result in hundreds of millions of people losing their lives. But individual evil is certainly on display in America. And one of the themes of the book is you can't look away. If it's in your town, sometimes even in your home. And a lot of people just are tied up with the cell phone. They create a bubble world where they live in this world. They don't want to get out of it. I don't want to get involved. You can't do that anymore. It's just too much. You got to really understand what's happening around you. And if you can, try to fight against evil. You don't want to put yourself at risk. Nobody's saying that people on the south side of Chicago or even in North St. Louis should be screaming at the drug gangs because they'll put a bullet right between your eye. So you got to be smart about it. But you can't be voting for people who allow this stuff to happen. So that all of that is woven into confronting evil.
Bill O'Reilly is back with us. Yeah, the new book is called Confronting Evil, Assessing the Worst of the Worst. Adolf Hitler is the first picture you see with Putin and Mao and the Ayatollah. And, you know, here you have a situation, kind of, let me bring it back to Charlie Kirk and everything, with the way that Republicans continuously, by AOC and other leaders in the Democrat Party, compared to Nazis. You know, and that's where I think a lot of this goes off the rails with just regular deplorables, as Hillary Clinton called them, because we're sick and tired of being called Nazis when you compare someone who is the worst of the worst, as you do in this book, to people who are politicians who may have different opinions on issues. It's just outrageous and intellectually dishonest.
Yeah, but those people are marginalizing themselves. Tonight on the No Spin News, which you can access on BillO'Reilly.com, I deal with this Crockett, this congresswoman from Texas.
Well, you know, she's from here, Bill. You know, she's from here originally. She's St. Louis.
She's from Missouri,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
She's a big Hitler, that thing. And I just take her apart because she doesn't have any idea what the Third Reich was or how they handled criticism or nothing. She's not even close. And you can imagine, Mark, if I debated her one-on-one,
you'd shred her.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, you'd shred her, Bill.
Right.
We know that. But
it wouldn't even, you know, she'd be pudding after 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But, and it's not that I'm so great. It's that she's so ill-informed. And this radical left stuff, it's really hurting the Democratic Party across the board.
It certainly is, and it gives me a lot of material on a radio show, as you might imagine. I have to ask you about Billy Joel. I still have not watched the second damn part of that documentary. I love the first part. I'm trying to carve out some time to watch the second part. But I read your column about him a few weeks ago. You've known him for a long time, right?
Yeah, I've known him, let's see, he and I are the same age, and I would say I've known him more than 50 years. As teenagers, we hung around on Long Island, because there was no air conditioning back then.
Yeah,
and
right.
And we were out till midnight trying to get a cool breeze. And we used to sing a cappella and stuff like that. And so I've known him. And he's hanging tough. He just bought a new house close to me here on Long Island. And we wish him the best. He's a genuinely good guy, super talented. You know, the documentary, I didn't have to really watch it. I knew it already.
Yeah, but all of us didn't. And I thought it was really cool.
I know.
It's really
awesome. I'm glad that he's getting the accolades that he deserves. He hasn't had an easy life. No father in the house, you know, that kind of thing. And back then, that was very, very unusual.
Yeah. No, that's very true. I'm friends with, I don't know if you know who Mike Del Judas is in his band. Billy brought him on about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that. He was just basically in he did a cover act called Big Shot.
Yeah, he's singing the national anthem at the golf tournament here this week in Long Island. I don't know him personally, but I know who he is.
That's awesome. He is a great guy, Bill O'Reilly. Listen, thank you for jumping on with me. We always appreciate it. The new book is called Confronting Evil, Assessing the Worst of the Worst. You have a great week, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, he kind of broke a little news to me about Mike Del Judas. I did not know that. We are going to get a Ryder Cup preview on Thursday on this very show. I got some more thoughts about the Nazi stuff. I have some audio. Ryan Ruth was convicted today of trying to assassinate President Trump. All that coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
So a couple of notes here on the censorship front that I think are very important. While I remain very uncomfortable with Brendan Carr and his comments last week about Jimmy Kimmel, of course, Jimmy's going to be back tonight on his show. He will not be airing it here in St. Louis. Sinclair and Nexstar, the two big broadcast companies that threw the red flag originally last week after his Monday night monologue, are not airing the show. So people will stream it. I don't know how much that means for the audience because it's like 30 markets or something along those lines. But something else happened today that I guarantee you will get no attention on Jimmy Kimmel's show or on CNN or any of the traditional legacy outlets. And this is a pretty big deal because just hours after Joe Scarborough and others went on this morning saying, oh my God, watch out, conservatives. What would happen if a Democrat went after your speech? Google admitted censorship under the Biden administration and promised to end bans of YouTube accounts of thousands of Americans, many of whom I follow on X and Twitter and had their accounts stripped many years ago. So Jim Jordan, who is the Republican chair of the House Oversight Committee, said that Google commits to offer all creators previously kicked off YouTube due to political speech violations on topics such as COVID-19 and elections an opportunity to return to the platform. They also admitted the following. Number one, the Biden administration pressured Google to censor Americans and remove content that did not violate YouTube's policies. That's kind of bad, isn't it? Remember Andrew Bailey kind of got involved in a lot of this when he was Missouri Attorney General? Number two, the Biden administration's censorship pressure was, quote, unacceptable and wrong, Google admitted. Number three, public debate should never come at the expense of relying, quote, authorities, unquote. I don't like the experts, the authorities, the people that think that they know better than everyone else, when in fact they don't. And we saw a lot of that during COVID. Number four, the company will never use third-party, quote, fact checkers, unquote. And they also have admitted that the European censorship laws targeting American companies and threaten American speech include the removal of, quote, lawful content. So those are big admissions that came after a subpoena to Google from Jim Jordan and his committee. They've looked into all this for years. And it's pretty important, I think, to put that into the context, because private companies like Nexstar and Sinclair not airing Jimmy Kimmel's show because they've made a business decision to not air it is a lot different than what we saw with the Biden administration and some of the things that went on during COVID, and they're horrific. Then you have Ryan Ruth, who was convicted today. This guy, he decides to represent himself. He's the one who stuck the gun through the, through the brush, the greenery, if you will, at the golf course last year. And it took the jury approximately like 5 minutes. I love Paul Morrow, and we're going to hear from Paul, but he didn't think that they would have the verdict today. And I've said this before, I've covered trials. They're very hard to, decide. When we had the, what was the one with the kid in Kenosha? And we were all predicting. It was one of those trials. I remember having Phil Holloway on. We're like, oh, this is going to take forever. And then it came down like 2 minutes after that. Well, the same thing happened today. I heard Paul say something about, this is probably just because there's a lot of things that they have to read through for instructions, et cetera. There was something unique in this case, too, where the jury instructions were read before the closing arguments. And Ryan Routh gave his own closing arguments because, of course, he represented himself. So here's Paul earlier on Fox.
So let's go back to the egg here in the aftermath of the incident. A lot was done right here. I know there were questions about how he got so close to then candidate Trump, but in the wake of what occurred, you had a witness step up who really held up, took a very, very smart look at the car, the plate, had a very good look at Ruth, and then who you're not hearing a lot about in building this case and bringing him into custody is the Martin County Sheriff's Office, who managed to get him pulled over. They did what's called a felony car stop, got him out of the car peaceably, back up in a way that nobody is in danger. They took him into custody, and some of that is on tape. It's on the body cam, it's on the dash cam. They then brought the witness there. They call it a show up. That holds up constitutionally.
Because yeah, so a lot of things really worked in the prosecution's favor here. It wasn't too difficult. Plus, he was, you know, not only representing himself, but his main line of defense was, hey, I can be a pretty nice guy in some parts of my life, so I really couldn't have done this. But then in the aftermath of the verdict, he tries to stab himself in the neck.
This idea of having something of a martyr complex, I really feel like he wants to stand for something, and he feels so deeply anti-Trump that he is just really willing to do anything. Good on the marshals for getting a hold of him before he could do himself any major damage. Obviously, that contextualizes now the family reaction. One thing I would mention is that he had access to this $150,000 that I spoke about earlier because he was using family accounts. Now, I don't know that the family was in any way cognizant of what he was going to do, because obviously I think then they would have been charged. But there are still some lingering questions about his movement of money, his movement internationally. I still think that despite the fact this case went how so many of us expected it to, there are still some questions.
Yeah, and you know, Paul, I think there are some questions, but listen to this. He mentioned the family. This is his daughter who was in court, and she was asked why her father did not testify, and she's basically all about, he's not guilty, it's a conspiracy.
I'm surprised he didn't want to take the stand on his own behalf.
No, why would he do that when they've been bullying him at every turn and making up and lying and fabricating evidence? And yeah, why would he take that risk when no one's being honest or in the courtroom and everything's against him?
Okay, he's the victim.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I know this got a lot of attention yesterday in a lot of the media. I don't think I ever aired this soundbite from Erica Kirk at the memorial on Sunday.
I forgive him.
Very emotional moment.
I forgive him because it was what Christ did. And is what Charlie would do.
Oh, I'm not enough of a man of God to forgive in instances like this, but I know a lot of people are, and Frank Mealy is back with us this afternoon. He columns at Real Clear Politics, and he wrote a book called What Matters Most, God, Country, Family, and Friends. And Frank, that kind of sums up, the title of that book sums up a lot of what Charlie Kirk was all about, doesn't it?
That is absolutely true. Most of my books and columns are about politics, and you get carried away sometimes, and you know, you do get worked up into a state of hate, frenzy, whatever. And so I put together a collection of the columns I wrote that allowed me to write things that everybody could agree with, I hope, and that you'll find that common ground.
Yeah, but you know, even with this, you have the left shooting back, you know, this is inappropriate. It's, you know, everything about government and religion, and nobody on the left can even take a moment and step back. And there have to be some people of faith on the left that appreciate this, right? But that was really quite a moment on Sunday. Now, I was watching a lot of NFL football. I didn't watch this thing, but I know that it affected a lot of people. I'm disconnected from the Charlie Kirk story a little bit, Frank, just being honest on the spirituality front, because I'm not, I believe in a higher power. I have my own thoughts, but I'm not, you know, as Christian as a lot of the folks who have gone out there supporting Charlie Kirk. So I don't have that connection with it, if you know what I mean.
Right. Well, I mean, that is something that, you know, we are supposed to be able to, you know, have a diverse country with diverse viewpoints, including on religion. It is, you know, the country is founded on Christian principles, but those principles are not unique to Christianity either. So as long as we can agree that, you know, what is good and what is bad, you know, then I think we should all be able to acknowledge that Charlie's faith walk was something that to be proud of, not to be ashamed of.
Yeah. So I was, you know, Fred's a little older than I, my producer. I was only 3 years old in 1968. You wrote about 1968. You were 12 years old, and you have to remember that. And, you know, a lot of people have reflected on the late 1960s as a moment where this, a couple of weeks ago, has reminded them of, because obviously there were multiple political assassinations.
Absolutely. And I actually used 60 years ago as my cutoff. If you were younger than 60, you probably weren't affected by what happened. If you were older, you probably were. Basically, you know, to me, it felt like Martin Luther King was the most direct antecedent for what happened to Charlie. But Robert Kennedy, I mean, I was, you know, 12 years old, I was following the campaign. I was anti-war and everything. And so Robert Kennedy was very exciting. And then to me, Charlie Kirk always represented that potential of being president. And so the loss of that future Charlie Kirk was something I felt. But, I, you know, that's the part that you feel like got ripped away. But Martin Luther King's death, you know, proved to be an inspirational moment for the country, despite the fact that there were riots and, you know, violence after his death. And thank God that didn't happen after Charlie's death. But in the coming years, people, you know, and that's why Martin Luther King is today a national holiday, because his memory, his spirit enabled the country to make progress in racial relations and to change in ways that might have taken many more years if he hadn't been sacrificed in that way.
Well, and you know, whenever something like this happens, people instantaneously start talking about legacy and what this will mean. And they were doing that 2 weeks ago. But it's even more interesting, I think, to have that conversation after what happened on Sunday, because I think I will admit, I have admitted that some of this reaction has caught me off guard, because I was certainly aware of Charlie. I was a fan. I would play his audio quite a bit. I did not really have a good perspective on the breadth of this movement with Turning Point USA and what we saw at that ceremony, what we've seen from young people across the country. And I'm damn impressed, and I'm more hopeful maybe than I was a couple of weeks ago, Frank, because I miss things every once in a while. And this is one of those cultural moments that I think I misjudged a little bit.
I mean, probably a lot of people never even heard of Charlie Kirk. You
oh,
and
I'm,
I would
that's
know
true,
because
too.
We're political animals, but yeah, a lot of people never heard of him. So this really does spread his, you know, and when you watch clips of him, he's really impressive. So it's going to be interesting, certainly, to see what's going to happen. They're continuing the campus tour now, and they've changed the name from the American Comeback Tour to This Is the Turning Point Tour, you know, making the point that his assassination is a chance for the country to take a new direction. And it's going to be coming to Montana in Bozeman October 7th. And they're using guest hosts, and each stop on the tour has different, you know, conservative leaders stepping in and trying to, quote unquote, fill the shoes, which is impossible of Charlie. So, yeah, it we'll see what happens. There's so many things that are, you know, in play. And Erica Kirk was, you know, great choice. I hoped after I heard her first speech when 2 days after Charlie died, when I heard her speak from his studio, I was so moved. I was like, this is the only person who
she's fantastic.
Can carry that alone.
And I didn't realize how successful she was even on her own. You know, I've learned a lot about Erica here in the past few days as well. Frank Mealy is with us from Montana. I know that you probably had to be, and I apologize for this, broken away from reading Kamala's new book on her run for the presidency. But let me ask you about a couple of things related to Trump here. And I know that you've written about the Epstein files. I want your perspective on this, Frank. Look, I have never been obsessed with this. I'm not trying to minimize the damage that was done to young women, and if there were horrible things that happened, and in some cases I think there were, but I have been a little confused with the obsession on some parts on the Epstein files. Now, you have your opinion. I want you to explain it here, and whether you're dissatisfied with what's come out of the administration, if there's, you know, trying to hide some things.
Well, I mean, the main problem from the Trump supporters' point of view, that if you want to find fault with Trump, it's simply the sharp turnaround from when he was campaigning and when his people in his orbit, like Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, were private citizens. They were very important, and it was very important to get out the truth about what happened with Epstein and who was he involved with besides his immediate circle, and were there famous people involved. And all of a sudden, and I really don't know what happened, Trump came out and, you know, he declared it was a hoax. Well, we know it's not a hoax. I mean, his Department of Justice in his first term are the ones who arrested Epstein and, you know, charged him. That's why he was in jail when he either killed himself or was offed. So it's not a hoax. And we have victims of Epstein who want some kind of resolution to what happened to them since Epstein died. They want, you know, they want a full public reckoning. And Trump turned his back on them in a way that I've never seen him do before. I find it to be a low point for his political career. I'm certainly not going to judge him long term on it. He's done so many good things, but it's very puzzling. I would like him to explain why it's a hoax. I mean, yes, the Democrats use it as a club to beat him, but only because he gave them the opening.
I guess, and this is very tricky to do with Donald J. Trump, Frank, and I've tried to do things over the years a little differently, certainly from 2016 into 2025. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but my interpretation was that he wasn't calling the Epstein scandal a hoax. He was calling the aspect of his potential involvement into nefarious things a hoax. But I don't know. And I understand what you're saying. And if they made promises about transparency, those promises should be kept. Are you worried that some of this falls on Trump, that he's trying to protect people in his orbit who are powerful people, or something different?
No, and I said in my column, I really don't believe that Trump has any culpability. He was a friend of Jeffrey Epstein, as many people were, you know, especially, you know, in New York and Florida, where he was, those two of Epstein's orbits. But so, yeah, he probably is a little embarrassed about the fact that he knew him and palled around with him. But I don't think there's any evidence, including from the women involved, that Trump did anything wrong. So I think he feels like it's distracting people from his, you know, his legacy and his what he's trying to accomplish. Today's speech at the UN was a marvel, I thought. I mean, Trump utilized his, you know, bullheadedness and his, you know, just his personality in a way that he just went in there and he was himself.
Yeah.
And he basically laid out, okay, you guys, I solved 7 wars in 7 months. What have you been doing?
Yeah.
I'm going to feature some of that for my audio cut of the day. And then, you know, on the climate, because I'm right. And by the way, and for people who aren't caught up on this, Frank, I know you know this, but 2 weird things happened. And I don't know if they're coincidental or not, but the escalator stopped working as soon as he and Melania approached it. And then the teleprompter goes down at the beginning of the speech. And there's no better person to have the teleprompter go down than Donald Trump. Could you even, I mean, this is kind of a serious question, too. Can you imagine if the teleprompter went down when Joe Biden's doing a speech like that a year ago? Oh my God! Right?
Yeah. Or Miss Harris, Kamala Harris.
Yes.
She's having a hard time with the spontaneous talking on her book tour. Same old word salad problems are
suddenly
appearing.
Yeah, shocking, right? Unbelievable. Any thoughts on Jimmy Kimmel's return?
I mean, you know, it's a business decision again. I'm happy that Sinclair and Nexstar are planning to refuse to run him until he issues some kind of an apology. We'll see what he does tonight. But, you know, the whole idea that it's somehow wrong and it's against free speech to take Kimmel off the air is absurd. I mean, we all grew, if you grew up in the 70s, you remember George Carlin, that there were seven words you can't say on TV. And that those words don't exactly exist in that form. But as a broadcaster, you know, the FCC regulates things. That's what they do. And they can regulate speech in specific ways. And one of the things you're not supposed to do is distort the news or lie about the news. And
well, he does that on a regular basis. Yeah. Look, I've had a difference of opinion with a lot of the conservative, you know, thought leaders like yourself. I just feel everything that I heard you say is true, except for I did not like the Brendan Carr FCC pressure angle. I just didn't. And, you know, it gives what it does to me is it gives the left the ability to say authoritarian and all this other nonsense that they've been screaming here for the past couple of years. I think it gives them ammo that we shouldn't have given them.
Here's the short answer to that. Brendan Carr is saying those things every day. It's just that in response to a question, he said it about a specific incident. But he's already said, I'm going after broadcasters to make them more fair. And that's, you know, that's what he was.
Well, he's been saying that for years. Yeah, before he was in charge, he has been out there very publicly on Twitter making these, you know, claims as well. Frank, always great to catch up with you. I appreciate it. I'll let you get back to Kamala's book. Let me know how it is. Brian Kilmeade on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that. We wrap up a Tuesday show. We've got to get to this here.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Yeah, so President Trump was at the UN to deliver this big speech, and then in the first couple of minutes, the teleprompter wasn't working.
And I don't mind making this speech without a teleprompter, because the teleprompter is not working. I feel very happy to be up here with you, nevertheless. And that way you speak more from the heart. I can only say that whoever's operating this teleprompter is in big trouble.
Well, he could have done the whole speech without it, but it did come back on. But he mentioned also the escalator didn't work at the UN.
All I got from the United Nations was an escalator that on the way up stopped right in the middle. If the First Lady wasn't in great shape, she would have fallen. But she's in great shape. We're both in good shape. We both stood. And then a teleprompter that didn't work. These are the two things I got from the United Nations, a bad escalator and a bad teleprompter. Thank you very much.
Yeah, if you see the video of Melania, she didn't waste a second. She just starts charging up the escalator when it's not working. But the president, outside of the humor and the lighter moments, did have some tough medicine for the UN.
What is the purpose of the United Nations? The UN has such tremendous potential. I've always said it. It has such tremendous, tremendous potential. But it's not even coming close to living up to that potential. For the most part, at least for now, all they seem to do is write a really strongly worded letter and then never follow that letter up. It's empty words, and empty words don't solve war. The only thing that solves war and wars is action.
Didn't stop there.
It's time to end the failed experiment of open borders. You have to end it now. See, I can tell you. I'm really good at this stuff. Your countries are going to hell. In America, we've taken bold action to swiftly shut down uncontrolled migration. Once we started detaining and deporting everyone who crossed the border and removing illegal aliens from the United States, they simply stopped coming. They're not coming anymore. We're getting a lot of credit, but they're not coming anymore.
So there he is, President Trump at the UN.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.